As soon as we're done with our children's moment, we're going to head back to junior church. We have a nursery and stuff for the younger kids back there. And so if you have younger kids, you can send them back that direction and pick them up after service. I brought today with me a paper chain. And paper chains are, it's just to really represent chain. When we think about forgiveness, there's a lot of things that might come to mind, but we don't really think about necessarily chains and being bound. When people do things to us, when they say mean things to us, when they do mean things to us, or things that we don't like, we can respond in a few ways. But if we hold on to what they did to us, if we hold on to the words that they said, or if we hold on and we want to get them back, and we get mad at them, we hold on to that hatred, that bitterness, it begins to bind us. It begins to enslave us. And it's really hard to go through life with being bound by. Forgiveness breaks that down. It stops that from happening. And forgiveness isn't always about the other people. Forgiveness is about letting go and being unbound. And it doesn't mean that you don't have boundaries. It doesn't mean that you don't, you know, push away abuse. But we can't have true justice. We can't set good boundaries until we learn to break the chains that these things are holding in our lives. Forgiveness breaks the chains, and it keeps people from controlling us. All right. And we know that because God, sending his son Jesus to forgive us, it breaks the chains that sin holds on us. That forgiveness breaks those chains as well. All right. And I'm going to turn that over to Fred, and we're going to head out.
Thank you, brother. It's good to see everybody here this morning. I know the cold weather has prevented many people being able to get out, so it's good to see some here who are now back with us again. Deborah was telling me that she was snowed in for a long time, couldn't even get out of her driveway, and things like that. It's good to have Donna back with us. She has been ill. Pam is back with us today. Also, we have with us today is our Charlie Hines. He's got a leave from the Air Force, and he's with us today. Certainly glad to have him with us today. I want you to open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter 4, we're going to take a look at verse 8 in just a moment here. 1 Peter 4, verse 8. We are continuing our series on building stronger relationships. And today we're going to be talking about choosing to forgive. Choosing to forgive. Just a moment here. Choosing to forgive. Peter writes in 1 Peter 4, verse 8. He said, "Above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins." On her golden wedding anniversary, a grandmother revealed the secret of her long and happy marriage. She explained, "On our wedding day, I decided to choose 10 of my husband's faults, which for the sake of our marriage, I would overlook. And a guest asked her to name some of the faults. To tell the truth, she replied, I never did get around to listing them. But whenever my husband did something that made me hopping mad, I would say to myself, lucky for him, that's one of the 10. You know, in 50 years of marriage, there are a lot of faults and annoyances committed by both husband and wife that are covered simply because of deep love for one another. And that's exactly what Peter means by this. The word sin just simply means to miss the mark. To miss the mark could be, refers to many things. Not only is it committing, being disobedient to God, but missing the mark could be you didn't take out the trash this morning like you're supposed to. You missed the mark. All those little annoyances that we have, and yet love covers those annoyances. It covers those faults that we deal with. And next week, we'll be talking about this even further. But what I want you to understand is this, that there are no perfect relationships. Okay? There are no perfect relationships. Marital relationships or otherwise. In every relationship, there are imperfect people with their individual faults, bad habits, and undesirable qualities. And each of us brings, you know, our own imperfections into our relationships. And that's why we must take personal responsibility with the power of God to make whatever change is necessary to develop more Christ-like relationships. And even then, we still mess up, don't we? We still mess up. I also see our sister Irma this morning. When you begin the naming people, but I saw Irma as well. It's good to have our sister Irma here as well. The truth of the matter is there are some situations and actions that cannot be fixed. They just cannot be fixed. You cannot unsay a demeaning remark. You cannot undo the angry slap that you inflicted on your 10-year-old. You cannot take back the adulterous relationship with your neighbor. You cannot recover your family's life savings, you know, that you gambled away. And we can say, I am sorry, until our face turns blue, but that still does not ease the hurt, undo the deed, or repair the turmoil that we have caused. Okay? That is when those of us who have been hurt by another must make a decision. We've got to make a decision. And that decision is, we either decide to forgive the person who hurt us and committed offense against us, or we harbor bitterness toward that person. And as Christians, we are to make our homes, our churches, our jobs, our schools, wherever we might be, we are to make those places where grace and forgiveness abound. Amen? That's what we are to do, where it is extended. Now, forgiveness is not easy, okay? We talk about forgiveness a lot, you know, and we have sermons on forgiveness, and we read about it, and we often even say it, will you please forgive me? We often say these things, but forgiveness is not easy, but it is commanded by God. If you want to turn your Bible there, you can. I want us to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and I want us to look at verse 32. In fact, we're going to be taking a look here at several verses, okay? Ephesians 4, verse 32, listen to what Paul said. Paul said that we as Christians are to be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Now, I want you to turn over to a couple books here, to the book of Colossians. I want you to look at Colossians 3, verse 13. Colossians 3, verse 13. Here Paul says, bear with each other, forbear with each other, and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And so Paul, both in Ephesians and in Colossians, says that we are to forgive as God has forgiven us. So how does God forgive us? What does Jesus say about forgiveness? I want you to turn your Bibles now to Matthew chapter 6, if you will, please. And I want you to listen to the words of Jesus, okay? This is how God feels about forgiveness. Matthew chapter 6, begin with verse 14. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Now, what we got to understand is this, church. God takes forgiveness seriously. You see that? He takes it seriously. So let's take a deeper look at what it truly means to forgive, okay? I want us to begin here by, number one, if you're keeping your notes there. Number one is the basis, to take a look at the basis of forgiving others. The basis of forgiving others. Now, simply the reason the Bible says we are to forgive is because we've been forgiven. You know, we've been forgiven. And I'm going to go into greater detail in this in just a few moments here, but I believe it is safe to say that there is no one here without sin. Am I right about that? There's nobody here who is without sin. But I want you to think about the sins you have committed in your lifetime. And I know this may be a little bit difficult to do, but I want you to kind of go back with me just a little bit here, okay? Think about the times when you disobeyed your parents, when you mistreated your little brother or sister, when you lied to your school teacher. Think about the hurtful words you have said, the gossip you have spread, the friends you have betrayed. Do you remember your first experience with pornography? You remember the first time you succumbed to the temptation of sex before marriage? The time when you broke your marriage vow and committed adultery with your coworker? I mean, will you ever be able to forget the time when out of uncontrolled anger, you violently threw your son to the ground? Or when you got drunk and hit your mother or your wife? Or the time when you were out of a job and you cursed God. I mean, I haven't even begun to scratch the surface listing the sins that we have committed, you know, over the years. But if we are in Christ, we are forgiven. Say that with me. We are forgiven. One more time. We are forgiven. And we need to claim that and understand what that means. That we are forgiven of all the horrible, evil, wicked things that we have done in our lifetimes. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12, God says of His children who have given their lives to Christ, He says, "For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." God will never bring up that affair. He will never remind you of what you said or did in anger. He won't make you relive the hurt that you have caused your family during the times that you were drinking. Whatever wicked or evil thing you have done in your lifetime, God through Christ has forgiven you and He has forgiven me. That's what God does. That's what the Lord's Supper reminds us of. The extent that God would go so that we can have eternal life with Him, so that we can be forgiven. And because we have a Father who forgives, we are to forgive one another. Max Lucado, in his book, The Applause of Heaven, tells the story, the true story, and I shared this with you before, but he tells the true story of two brothers who ventured into a business deal. And the older brother needed a loan, and the younger brother co-signed the loan for him. You know, I mean, that's what brothers do. So he co-signed the loan. And when it came time for the older brother to get the money, the younger brother picked up the check from the bank and used it to pay off his mortgage. The money that the older brother was coming to get to take care of whatever this business he had, the younger brother took that check and paid off his house. And incensed, the older brother went to see the younger sibling with hurt on his mind. And the younger brother entered the door holding his little girl, diffusing the moment, but just for a moment. Daniel, the older brother, threatened to kill his younger brother the next time he saw him. Daniel had no choice but to pay off the loan. A few months later, Daniel met a young preacher who taught him about Jesus, and Daniel and his wife became Christians. However, Daniel still just simply could not forgive his brother. He found it impossible just to forgive him, and revenge simmered. He hadn't seen his brother for 5 years until one day he saw him on a busy street. And Daniel wrote these words about that encounter. Let me read this. I saw him, but he didn't see me. I felt my fist clench and my face get hot. My initial impulse was to grab him around the neck and just choke the life out of him. But as I looked into his face, my anger began to melt. For as I saw him, I saw the image of my father. I saw my father's eyes. I saw my father's look. I saw my father's expression. And as I saw my father in his face, my enemy once again became my brother. Now, when his brother saw Daniel, he turned and ran, just ran away. But Daniel reached out and grabbed him by the shoulder, and expecting the worst, he found himself hugged by Daniel's big arms. And the two brothers stood in the midst of a river and cried. You see, that's what forgiveness is. And when you think about how forgiving our Heavenly Father has been to us, how He has forgiven us of those horrible sins that we have committed against Him, against others, then surely we can learn how to forgive one another. I mean, we aren't to forgive on the basis of whether or not they deserve it, or whether or not they are worthy, or have made amends. I mean, forgiveness is based on God forgiving us. And He forgives us on the basis of His grace, His love, and His mercy. But then secondly, we see here the nature of forgiving others. The nature of forgiving others. And I want us to look, first of all, at what forgiveness is not. Okay? What forgiveness is not. If you will, please, I want you to turn your Bible this time over to the book of Luke. I want you to look at Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. I'm going to begin here with verse 3. In fact, the next sentence, verse 3. Jesus once again says, if your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you 7 times a day and 7 times comes back to you and says, I repent, forgive him. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. Now, I want us to look here at what forgiveness is not. Number one, forgiveness, if you're keeping notes, forgiveness is not a feeling, okay? Forgiveness is not a feeling. I mean, the truth is, there are times when we do not feel like forgiving the person who wronged us, including those who even come to us asking for our forgiveness. I mean, sometimes we're like the little girl whose mother, in an attempt to calm her down, said, now, Ella, your little brother said he was sorry for breaking the doll, so I hope that you'll be able to forgive him. All right, Ella says reluctantly, but I'd feel like forgiving him if I could just smack him first. I mean, have you ever felt that way? If I could just punch him in the face, I would feel so much better. But Jesus said that we are to forgive even if someone sinned against us 7 times a day. 7 times a day. I mean, I think about the third time I'd be ready to tell the guy to take a hike in a not so nice tone. And of course, no wonder the apostles said, well, Lord, increase our faith. I mean, they're thinking, you want us to do what? Increase our faith. But Jesus is merely revealing the way that God forgives us. That's what he's talking about here. This is how God forgives us. We sin against him time and time and time again, more than seven times. Am I right about that? I mean, we just continually sin against God. And yet every time we go to him in repentance and say, God, I'm sorry. I did it again. I'm sorry. Will you please forgive me? He continues to forgive. I mean, the seven is not about a number. It is a number of perfection. You continually forgive. And whether we feel like it or not, we are commanded to forgive those who sin against us. And this may not take away the hurt, but prayerfully it will begin the healing process. Begin the healing process. But then secondly, forgiveness is not excusing. I think this is important for us to understand. Because we have a tendency to think when somebody sins against me and then comes to me and says, I'm sorry for that, I'm sorry for what I did, I'm sorry for what I said. You know, we have a tendency to say, that's okay. That's okay. And that's what excusing says. Excusing says, that's okay. And it implies that what you really did wasn't wrong. Or you couldn't help yourself. You know, you just couldn't help it, you know, when we do that. But Jesus said that, in fact, he tells us here that we are to even to rebuke, to reprimand those who sin against us. Man, it's all right to go to the person who sins against you and say, man, you did me wrong. What you did was wrong. And it's all right to do that. Forgiveness is the opposite of excusing. The very fact that forgiveness is needed and granted indicates that what someone did was wrong and inexcusable. Forgiveness says, we both know what you did was wrong and without excuse. But since God has forgiven me, I forgive you. I forgive you. Thirdly, forgiveness is not forgetting. Forgiveness is not forgetting. I mean, how many times have we said that? You know, we are to forgive and forget. How many times have you heard sermons where a preacher got up and said, you know, brothers and sisters, you need to forgive and forget. But you know that scripture does not say that. It does not say that at all. I mean, there are some wrongs committed against us that we will never, never forget. And the Bible doesn't demand that we do so. I mean, God is very realistic about our forgiving others. He knows that there are some hurts that have caused some deep, deep scars that will never go away. He knows that. And so he doesn't say, you are to forgive and forget. And now, this misunderstanding is derived from a misuse of the passage I quoted earlier in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12, where it says, where God says, I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. That passage does not say that God forgives and forgets. I mean, think about that for a moment. Our omniscient God does not have amnesia when it comes to our sins. In fact, he has inspired writers to record the sins of his people right here in this book. People that he has forgiven, and we can go back and read what they did. It's right here. God does not forget our sins. Instead of forgetting, he chooses not to remember. He chooses not to remember. There are some hurts that we will never forget. But when we forgive, we also are also choosing not to remember the offense. So how do I do that? Number one, I will not bring it up again. I forgave you. And forgiving that person, never again will I remind you how you hurt me. We'll never talk about it again. You'll never ever hear me say, do you remember when you did this? You remember? So we will never bring it up again. No matter what that person's done, it's done. I forgave you. I'm not talking about it. We're not talking about it anymore. Secondly, I will not use it against you. There's a scripture in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5, we're going to be studying next week, where he says, love keeps no record of wrongs. Love keeps no record of wrongs. I will not use it against you. I'm not going to do that. Thirdly, I will not talk about it to others. I mean, no one needs to ever know what this person did to hurt you. You don't talk about it. You forgave the person. You don't go, you know, to a coffee shop and then tell your friends about it. You don't come and share it with people here at the church. You do not talk about it. It's forgiven, and therefore, never again. I'm not going to tell anybody. I'm never going to bring it up to you, and I will bring it up to nobody else. And then number four, I will not dwell on it. Okay. This is a tough one. Because, again, there are some hurts you'll never forget. You know those what those hurts are. If I ask everybody this morning to stand up and share with us how somebody has hurt you, everybody would be standing and sharing. Well, so-and-so did this to me. We know those hurts. We remember those hurts. But what often happens is we take it and we begin to dwell on it and feed off of it and become more and more bitter. But yet the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5 that through the power of the Holy Spirit that we can take every thought captive in obedience to Christ. And so when Satan causes those hurts to resurface in our minds, man, we have the power through the Holy Spirit to say, okay, I'm not going to think about this, God. I remember, God, when I forgave that person for that? I remember when I forgave that person for that, and I'm not going to dwell on this. I mean, it's whether or not it is quoting Scripture or thinking about the good things that this person has done, whatever it is, you do not dwell on the offense because you have forgiven them and you choose to remember no more. But what is forgiveness, number two? So what is it? What is forgiveness? Well, forgiveness is a choice. That's what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is a choice. We decide or choose to forgive. I mean, instead of choosing to be angry and bitter and hurtful, Paul said in Ephesians 4, verse 32, that we are to choose to be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God has forgiven you. Now, this word forgiving, as you see here, I underscored forgiving each other. The word forgiving in the Greek actually means to let go, to release, or to cancel. It's used elsewhere in Scripture in reference to canceling a debt. I mean, a person owes you a great sum of money, but you release him from the debt and you mark it paid in full. And by doing so, you decide to, you can't decide a year from now to collect. You can't do it. He owes you nothing, and never again is it to be brought up because you forgave the debt. I mean, now please understand that forgiving others doesn't come without sacrifice. Now, we could talk about forgiving, you know, and how important it is for us to forgive others for the sins they sin against us, all these things. But I want you to realize forgiveness, forgiving others, does not come without sacrifice. Because when you cancel a debt owed to you, that money doesn't magically reappear in your pocket. I mean, it's gone, okay? It's gone. You can't spend it. You have to absorb the cost. And in the same way, forgiveness requires that we absorb certain outcomes of another person's sins and release this person from liability of punishment. That's what forgiveness does. Now there may be other consequences that a person will have to face because of sin. Jesus said that if a spouse is unfaithful to you, you are allowed to divorce that person. There's a consequence to the sin of adultery. There's a consequence to that sin. You might forgive the person who killed your son while driving under the influence, but he still has to go to prison. He still has to go. But as it concerns you, the debt is wiped clean. I mean, God chose to send His Son to the cross to pay the debt of our sins. And when that happened, Jesus absorbed the cost of our sins on that cross. Peter said in 1 Peter 2, verse 24, that He bore our sins in His body on the tree. We don't deserve it. We cannot earn it. We can never repay it. But God chose to cancel the debt of our sin to forgive us through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's what God did for us. And we have the same choice concerning those who sin against us. And if we forgive others the way that God has forgiven us, that's exactly what we do. We absorb the cost of that sin committed against us when we forgive. A husband and wife who had been married for 20 years were beginning to have more than usual disagreements. So they decided that maybe the best thing to do was to list each other's faults on a notepad and then discuss them in a civil manner, you know, civilized manner. They sat down at the table across from each other and they both began writing. The wife wrote down 5 of her husband's faults and put down the pencil. But then she noticed her husband still writing. In fact, he was writing, then erasing, and then writing some more. And she thought, man, he's trying to perfect his list. And I can do that too. And she then picked up her pencil and started writing a long list, turned the page, and wrote some more. And after they were done, the wife, you know, handed her list to her husband. Leaves the jelly top off the jar. Does not put dirty clothes in the hamper. Watches too much sports on television. Snores too loud. And on, she went listing, you know, one fault after another. The husband apologized and said he will try his best to improve on the things that she listed. And he then handed his list to her, and on each list there was a fault that was listed, then erased, and then written in its place were the words, "I love you anyway." That's what forgiveness is. Those faults come. We know those faults, don't we? But we love them anyway. Because love covers a multitude of sins. I want you to look at this next slide. It says, how can I forgive when it hurts so much? I'm just curious. I'd like to see a show of hands if you want to do this, but how many of you have been hurt by somebody? Will you raise your hand if you've been hurt by somebody? Okay. I expected that. Because the truth is, we have all been hurt by somebody. And the flip side of that is, we have also all have hurt somebody. But when we are hurt and it hurts so much, the question is, how can I forgive when it hurts so much? Again, the hurt may never go away. But we forgive others remembering that of all the things that we have done to God, of all the sins we have committed, God still forgives us. Jesus hanging on the cross looks at the very people who put him there and says, Father, forgive them. Forgive them. Don't you think that Jesus was in excruciating pain when he said those words? Father, forgive them. I kind of debated whether or not I want to share this, but I hope this is okay. I don't know if many of you know how Stephen and I got COVID or not. But how I got COVID, I was actually the one who brought this disease home to Stephen. Because I was affected first. I didn't know I was affected, but I was affected first and I brought it home to Stephen. But how I got COVID is that it happened here at the church. In fact, it was right there in that room, the family room, during an elder staff meeting. And as we're sitting around the table, everybody was great, you know, joking around like we always do and all the things like that. And everything was wonderful, and, you know, we were all feeling well and doing well. But then I get a call the next day from my brother Don Martyr saying, I've got COVID. And by this time, the next day, I was already having symptoms. And not only was I having symptoms, but my son Stephen was having symptoms. Those early signs, you know, where you think it's just a simple little cold, you know. And I thought, well, since he has it, I probably need to go get tested. And so I was tested, and sure enough, I had COVID. I tried to avoid everybody in the house as much as you can. Stephen, his bedroom was up in the loft over our garage, and that's where his bedroom was, and that's where he was trying to be. But of course, we shared, you know, the same bathrooms, you know, and things like that. But we wore masks. We sprayed Lysol everywhere. You know, I mean, we did everything we can to, you know, to make sure that nobody else gets it. And you start out, you know, and you really don't even know that you have it, you know, and you feel like, oh, this is nothing. Yes, it's nothing, but then it gets worse. It gets worse. Not only did Don have COVID, Don Martyr, but Bonnie also had COVID. And like Stephen, Bonnie wound up in the hospital. And Stephen finally had to go to the hospital because his oxygen level just can't continue to decline. And really where he was in bed, you know, and said, Dad, I can't even get out of bed. I can't even go to the bathroom. I can't move. And he said, I think I need to go to the hospital. And so that's when I called the ambulance, you know, and telling them, listen, Stephen's a big guy. It's going to take several of you to help him down the stairs and onto a gurney and then off to the hospital. And we both said, we love you, son. That was the last time I spoke to him in person. When both Bonnie and Stephen were in the hospital, man, prayers went out. Boy, those prayer requests, asking for your prayers and prayers, I know this is a praying church. And I know prayers went up to God in heaven. And, you know, and we pray and we pray and pray. My prayer was that my son will be able to walk out of that hospital on his own strength and be able to come home. But that's not what God had planned for my son. And he passed away. And Bonnie is in the hospital, I mean, just clinging to life. Clinging to life. Didn't know from one day to the next, you know, if she was going to be able to go home or not. She had no idea. Just clinging to life. But shortly after Stephen passed away, I get a phone call, and it's Bonnie. And Bonnie says to me, Pastor, will you please forgive me? Will you please forgive Don for exposing you to this COVID disease? Will you please forgive us? for what happened to your son. Will you please forgive us? And I said to Bonnie, Bonnie, there's nothing to forgive. COVID is just a horrible disease. It's a horrible disease. I mean, Don didn't say, man, I got COVID. I wonder if I can give it to the preacher. And I think Russ even got it then too, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Don Martyr did not know anything. He didn't even really know he was sick. And it's a disease that just spread, no matter what precautions you took. Wearing masks or otherwise, it didn't matter. It just continued to spread. But when I heard her heart say those words, will you please forgive Don and me for giving you COVID? I thought, man, Bonnie, there is nothing to forgive. I love you and Don, and there's nothing to forgive. I guess I was probably harder on myself than Don. But these things happen. But you see, even though, and I know she knew deep down herself that, you know, that Don didn't come here, you know, trying to expose anybody. It weighed so heavy on her heart that she still wanted to say, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? You see, that's the heart of Christ. That's the heart of Christ. And when we actually do somebody wrong, we need to have that heart of Christ to go to those people and say, I am so sorry for what I said about you. I am so sorry for what I did to you. Will you please forgive me? Please forgive me for what I've done. Please forgive me. And then those of us who have been offended by another, we need to have the heart of Christ and say, yeah, you hurt me. You hurt me. What you did to me, what you said about me, that hurt. But I forgive you. And never again will I bring it up. Never again. You see, that's what forgiveness is. We're going to be singing this invitation song, and this is an opportunity for you to really, truly look deep within your own heart, your own soul. And ask that question, have I done somebody wrong? We have done people wrong. But have you gone to that person and say, I'm sorry for what I did wrong, and name it. Whatever you did, name it. I'm sorry for what I did. I'm sorry for what I said, and just say what you said. And go to those people and seek their forgiveness. And that's what we need to do. And as you are thinking right now, maybe there's just something there that you need for us to pray for you about. We'd like to pray with you. Maybe there's a struggle you're going through that is just really has hit you hard, and you want your family to know about it and to pray over you. We are here to help you, to pray with you. Whatever that need might be, will you please come as together we stand and we sing.